السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you doing?
الحمد لله الحمد لله. How are you?
الحمد لله. Doing well. الحمد لله.
May Allah bless you all. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. So we'll be reading, inshallah, from Surah At-Tawbah, the section number 5, starting with the ayah 30. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa qalatil yahudu Uzairun ibnullah. Wa qalatin nasara al-masih ibnullah. ذلك قولهم بأفواههم يظاهرون قول الذين كفروا من قبل قاتلهم الله أنى يؤفكون اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the compassionate, the Jews said, Ezra is the son of Allah. And the Christians said, the Messiah is the son of Allah. These are words from their mouths, resembling the words of those who disbelieved before. May Allah fight them, how far they have been deviated. They have taken their rabbis and monks, as well as Jesus, son of Mary, as lords beside Allah. They were not commanded to worship anyone except only one God. There is no God but Him. Be He glorified from all that they ascribe as partners to Him. So the context of this ayat is the struggle, the problem that Muslims had at that time with the Byzantine Christians in the northern part of Arabia. And it is mentioned that they gathered a big army to attack Medina. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, took the people, even though at that time it was a very difficult time, but he took a number of people there to defend Islam and Muslims, the Islamic, the community. And the question must have been that Islam speaks about Jesus, peace be upon him, as the prophet of God, recognizes the Torah, the Injil, the Bible. Why there is a fight? So it is mentioned before that because their belief in Allah is not the same as the belief that Allah has given in the Quran. So they're opposing because of that. And actually, Prophet, peace be upon him, after Hudaybiyah, he sent a delegation of 15 people to invite them to Islam. And it is reported that they killed most of them. So that must have been a very tragic thing, that they killed the ambassadors of the Prophet ﷺ, the people who went to invite them to Islam. And so in that context, it's been explained that what is the main difference? And the difference is that the Jewish people say that Ezra is the son of Allah. Ezra was a very important figure. Jewish people believe that he was a prophet, and there is a book called the Book of Ezra that is part of the Bible, part of the Old Testament, Book of Ezra. So Ezra who is called in Arabic Uzair, the Quran does not say that he was a prophet. Some Muslims say that he was a prophet also, or he might have been a prophet, but there is no specific statement that Ezra was a prophet. However, the Quran mentions that this is what they say. So Ezra probably lived about 450 before Isa alayhi salam. This is the time when, a little before that the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. And they took a large number of Jews as captives in Babylonia, which is ancient Iraq, that area, closer to Baghdad, Babylonian. And the king who destroyed the city of Jerusalem is known as Nebuchadnezzar, or whatever the pronunciation of that. And he destroyed the temple, the mosque of Ibrahim, of Dawood alayhi salam, Suleiman alayhi salam. And he took a large number of Jewish people as captives, and they became prisoners, slaves in Babylonia. They call it the Babylonian exile. And there, they were not allowed to practice Jewish faith, Jewish law. And they lost their book, they lost their Torah, and they were not practicing some of the laws of the Torah. So it is said that Ezra, a priest or a prophetic figure, he stood and reminded them about the teachings of the Torah, reminded them about the laws of the Torah. So he revived the spirit among the people. And then after that, one of the king of Babylonia, Cyrus, or whosoever the person was there, he helped the Jewish people to come back to Jerusalem, to go back to Jerusalem and build their temple. So this was the second temple that was built around 587 of the before Isa alayhi salam. So because of this work of Ezra was very very influential, and they respected him very much. And it is possible that the Quran says yes, this happened, that a group of Jewish people, not all Jews, but a group of Jewish people, especially the Jews of the Middle East and those who are living in Medina, around Medina, they consider him as son of God. So because if you ask Jewish people in general about Ezra, do you believe that he was the son of God? They say, no, we didn't say that. So the Quran is not saying that all Jews said that, but some Jews said that. And those Jews, probably they don't exist now. But at that time, they were saying that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that there are people among the Jewish community who say about Ezra that he was the son of God. That means people really not followed the teachings of their prophets, and they did not follow the Tawheed, the oneness of God. And the Christians, of course, are known that they believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. So Allah says, and the Christians say that Jesus is, Messiah is the Son of God. And Allah says, ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. This is what they utter by their mouths. I mean, there's no reality about it. This is the word of their mouths. Just to say it, a person can say anything. So this is what they say. And the words that they are saying, they resemble very much the words of the mushrikeen, the people who disbelieved. Their words resemble those words, because the mushrikeen of Mecca, the people in Mecca, they used to call angels as daughters of God. And there are many other people in the Roman world, in the Greek world, and other worlds, in Egypt. They believed sons of God and daughters of God, all of this. The concept of son of God and sons of God is not a new one. It existed. Allah says, يُظَاهِرُونَ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَبْلَ. They are trying, they are resembling, they are مُشَابَهَ. This is يُشَابِهُونَ. So they are, their words are similar to the words that are said by other kuffar, other non-believers, other people who disbelieved. And قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ النَّيْفَقُونَ. How they have turned away from the path, the real teachings of their prophets. I mean, Jesus, peace be upon him, never said that he was the Son of God. It is the statement that came from the people. I mean, even in the present Bible, there is no statement from Jesus that I am the Son of God. He talks about Son of Man of God. He says the Son of Man, but not Son of God. Other people have said that, but not Jesus himself. So this is not directly the teaching of Jesus. So they are the one who said it. People, they said that, but this is not the reality. So idea of Son of God, some of them say Son of God literally, because they call Maryam alayhi salam mother of God. I mean, you have today also, you have Catholic school called Mater Dei, Mother of God school. And Maryam alayhi salam was called as the Mother of God. And people pray to Mary, Mother of God, save us. So they kind of almost like literally, like as if God came out from the womb of Mary. And so they believe that he was literally the Son of God. And some of them believe that he was not literally Son of God, but metaphorically. That means he was very beloved to God, very close to God, and that's why they call him Son of God. So Quran says, Walad Allah. They say, Walad Allah, Allah begot a son, they say. Quran has criticized that they say, Walad Allah, Allah has given birth to a son. And in some places, ittakhadha Allahu walada. Allah has adopted a son. So whether you call it physical or you call it metaphorical, the Quran says, no, don't use that word. Of course, as a beloved of God, we believe that Jesus was very beloved to God. Min al-muqarrabin, he was those who were very close to God. But there is no son of God. There is no daughter of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond that. Subhanallah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. And they took their rabbis and monks, almost like lords and gods, and they call them lords. And Jesus, son of Mary, also Lord Jesus, they say. So Jesus, son of Mary, as well as rabbis and monks, they are taken as almost like gods. تَخَذُوا أَحْبَارَهُمْ وَرُبَانَهُمْ أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Adi ibn Hatim, when he accepted Islam, he was a Christian, he accepted Islam, and the Prophet ﷺ recited this ayah, اتَّخَذُوا أَحْبَارَهُمْ وَرُهْبَانَهُمْ أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَالْمَسِيحَ ابْنَ مَرْيَمْ. So Ali ibn Abi Hatim said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, they Christians, they don't worship their monks. They don't worship their monks. They don't worship their priests. So what is the meaning of this? He wanted to ask. And the Prophet said, don't they make haram what is halal, and what they make halal what is haram, and people follow them? So yeah, they do that. And so and that is their ibadah. If somebody makes something halal for you and you say, okay, and somebody makes something haram for you, I said, okay, without any dalil from the kitab and the sunnah, without any dalil from the Quran and from the Bible, for the in the case of these people, just because they gather together and make a decision, and make a decision that this thing is halal and this thing is haram, usually halal, taking interest is halal. Now, they say that, or saying that pork is halal, some people do that, pork is halal, drinking wine is halal, committing a fornication is okay, homosexuality is halal, and people accept that because the council has decided. So that is something like that. It's almost like making them gods. They said that that is what the Prophet said. Did they not do that? So this is their ibadah. This they're making ibadah as if they are making them god, because the authority of making halal and haram belongs to Allah. And Allah gives it to His Prophet. The Prophet, Allah and His Prophet, they are the ones that. Al-halal ma ahallahu Allah, al-haram ma harramahu Allah. Even the Prophet does not make halal and haram, except he conveys, communicates. And the ulama, when they say about something, they have to have a dalil for that from the kitab. Without dalil, they cannot make it halal. So ulama also, the councils of ulama make a decision, but they must bring the source. They must bring evidence, dalil. You cannot make halal, whatever is haram, by your gathering and together make a decision. If all the ulama come together, na'udzubillah, and make a decision that this is haram, but Allah has made halal, or this is halal, but Allah made haram, it cannot happen. It cannot be. Al-halal ma ahallahu Allah, al-haram ma harramahu Allah. Halal is that which Allah has made halal, and haram is that which Allah has made haram. So this authority does not belong to anyone. If somebody says, then he has to bring a proof for that, bring an evidence for that from the kitab. So Allah says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. And they were not commanded except to worship only one God. La ilaha illahu, there is no God except He. Subhanahu am mushrikun. Glory be to Him from that which they associate with Him. Allah is free and above from any partner. There is no partner to Allah. There is no one who has the right to be worshipped beside Allah. And there is no one who has the right to make halal and haram except Allah. So that is the sharia of Allah subhanahu, that is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So la ilaha illa huwa subhanahu amma yushrikun. So this is the best, this is the issue. And that's why they are opposing Islam. And that's why they consider Islam as an enemy. يريدون أن يطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره ولو كره الكافرون. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. They desire to extinguish Allah's light with their mouths, but Allah refuses except to bring His light to fullness, though the disbelievers dislike it. It is He who has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to make it prevail over all religion, though the idolaters dislike it. So Allah says that these people are trying to blow out the light of Allah, as if the light of Allah is like a candle, a small candle, a small lamp, and you blow it up, and it's gone. Light of Allah cannot be extinguished like that. Life of Allah is the light that prevails. This light will be forever. It may go through difficult all this thing, but at the same time, nobody can blow off the light of Allah. So they are trying, they're wishing to extinguish the light of Allah by the breath of their mouths, the afwahim. And Allah refuses that. Ya Allah, no way, you cannot do that. Allah refuses and says, my light is going to be full, complete, fulfilled. The light of Allah is going to prevail. Light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to shine. And no can blow it off. وَيَعْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ يَعْبَ اللَّهُ مَنَعَ اللَّهُ. Allah refuses that. Except that light will be complete. إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Kafirs dislike it. Some people will hate it. And they make all the kind of attempts to extinguish this light, but somehow this light is going to prevail. Let's go. The Prophet said, the name of Islam, the religion of Islam is going to enter every house. Whether this house is made from brick or mud, or it is a tent, the word of Allah is going to reach every house. بعز عزيز وبذل ذليل. The honor of those who are honorable and the dishonor of those who are dishonored. So those who will honor this the name of Allah and the word of Allah, they will be honored. Isn't your is Allah? This is an honor Allah will give it to those who accept it. But at the same time, there will be people who will be disgraced because of their rejection, because of their denial, because they are their opposition up to the word of Allah. Allah says, it is he who sent his messenger with huda, guidance. وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ and true religion, the religion of truth. So this is guidance and truth. Truth in its theology, in its beliefs, in its principles, and then of course purpose is guidance, to guide people, guide in their beliefs, and in their life, in their way of life. So live guided way. بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لَيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. So it will prevail, it will go, it will outshine. Nobody will be forced to accept Islam, but Islam by itself is going to outshine. Allah will make it outshine. It's the beauty is going to come out. And more time will pass, you will see that beauty is going to come out. More and more. People will realize that. And people will see that. So it is a prediction. It is a prophecy. It is what Allah said that is going to happen. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Even though the mushrik will not like it. Those who commit idolatry, those who commit shirk, they not like it. They will hate it. They will dislike it. But it is the decision of Allah. It is not because of you and me. Of course, we are supposed to follow the truth and work for truth, but it is not our desire. It is the desire of Allah. It is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَأْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ. And Allah refuses except to make his light complete, full. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, the disbeliever like it, would not like it. And in a similar way, he said, لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن كثيرا من الأحبار والرهبان ليأكلون أموال الناس بالباطل ويصدون عن سبيل الله والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة ولا ينفقونها في سبيل الله وبشرهم بعذاب أليم يوم يحمى عليها في نار جهنم فتكوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم وظهورهم هذا ما كنستم لأنفسكم فذوقوا ما كنتم تكنزون. Oh, you who believe, many of the rabbis and monks consume the wealth of people falsely and prevent from the path of Allah. Those who hoard gold and silver and do not spend it in the path of Allah warn them of a severe punishment. On the day when it will be heated up in the fire of hell, and by it will be branded their foreheads, sides, and backs. This is what you hoarded up for yourself, so now taste that which you used to hoard. So another problem Allah SWT mentioned, and this is of course not only for Ahbar and Ruhban, for monks and priests, this is for anybody. Oh, you who believe, some of these people, I mean, there are many of them, in the kaseer, many of them. Many of the priests and monks, Ahbar, the rabbis from the Jewish community, and Ruhban, the monks of the Christian community, they take the money of the people in a false way. In the wrong way they take it. And they prevent people from the path of Allah. And they do not spend to help the poor and the needy. And same thing also with the believers, if they do that. If the imams started doing that, they are warned also. If the people, Muslim community, they started doing that. So those who do not spend in the path of Allah, الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ, those who make a kanz, they're hoarding, they make a treasure of gold and silver. So they collect a lot of gold and silver. And gold and silver or cash or whatever it is, to collect money, a lot of money, and do not give it in the path of Allah. If you give in the path of Allah, of course you have a right to hoard as much as you want. So that's why when the Prophet ﷺ was asked about kanz, he said, if you give sadaqah and you give zakat, then the money that you have, the gold and silver you have, is not kanz. But kanz is if you don't give zakat. So you have to be very careful that there's your money. Every year you pay zakat on it. Otherwise, it becomes kanz. And the kanz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who have the kanz, hoarding the money without giving it in the path of Allah, bashirhum bi azab in alim. Tell them. And this person is collecting a lot of money and he wanted to be happy. I said, that is the happiness of severe punishment. So tell them, give them the good news of punishment. And that is a terrible news, which is a sarcastic way. وَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give them the news of a severe punishment. And that punishment will be on the Day of Judgment. What will happen? يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمٍ. So this gold and silver that they had in large amount, the whole thing will be in the heat of fire. In the fire. And will be heated up in the fire. And then after that, it will be, they will be branded on their forehead, on their sides, on their backs. So that becomes like heated fire that will be on their faces, on their sides, on the back. And it will be said to them, "Ha, dama kanastum le anfusikum. This is your kanth, this is your gold, this is your silver that you kept for yourself, that you will enjoy, but it is not. Fazuqu ma kuntum taknizun. So taste what you have been collecting. Take what you've been hoarding. May Allah save us from that. And the way out of that is, be careful, give it in zakat. Give your zakat, give your sadaqah. Help the poor and the needy. For the good cause, do that. If you do that, Allah will save you and will bless you actually and will increase more, give you more and more. مَا نَقَصَ مَالٍ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ. As the Prophet said, there is no wealth that will decrease because of sadaqah. Sadaqah will increase, bring the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to keep your money and if you want to have blessings of your money, enjoy your money and increase your money, give it some of it for the cause of Allah. وَمِمَّا رَضَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And from that we have given them, they spend. Give it in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not only for ahbar and ruhban, it is not only for priests and rabbis and monks, it is for everyone. Allah says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu," O believers, be aware of that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another important point, and that is related to the calendar. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم وقاتلوا المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين إنما النسيء زيادة في الكفر يضل به الذين كفروا يحلونه عاما ويحرمونه عاما ليواطئوا عدة ما حرم الله فيحلوا ما حرم الله زين لهم سوء أعمالهم والله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. The number of months according to Allah are 12. In the decree of Allah, from the day when He created the heavens and the earth, four of them are sacred. So wrong not yourselves and fight the idolaters altogether as they fight you altogether. And know that Allah is with the righteous. Truly, nasi is an increase in disbelief, whereby those who disbelieve are led astray. They make it lawful 1 year and make it unlawful another year in order to reconcile it with the number of what Allah made forbidden and thus permit what Allah has forbidden. Their evil deeds are made alluring to them. Allah does not guide the people who disbelieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the months in 1 year are 12 months. Addat ashhur in life nasha. Now some people count the months according to the lunar calendar and some count the month according to the solar calendar. In Islam, the religious calendar is lunar calendar based on the cycle of the moon. So moon has a cycle which is 355 days, about 355 days. And sun has a cycle, which is 365 days and few hours. So that's the way it has been. And it was there before Islam also, before the Prophet ﷺ came and gave his message. But Arabs started doing it, playing up with that. Some leaders of the tribes, they started playing up games with that. So Allah said that you have 12 months and 4 months are sacred months. And those sacred months are Rajab, and then after that, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hajjah, and Muharram. Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hajjah, and Muharram come together. And Rajab is separate. And these 4 months were recognized by Arabs before they became Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, you should do that. Observe that. And in those 3 months, because they were called Hurum, sacred months, people were not allowed to fight. No wars, no fighting. So tribes used to travel from one corner of Arabia to another corner to come for Hajj during this time, because nobody would attack them. Allah says, observe that. It's a good tradition. Observe that. Minha arba'atun hurum. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not do wrong to yourself. And observe that strictly. But what happened that they were not observing it strictly. And they started playing tricks with that. So if they wanted to, some tribes, if they wanted the leading, if they wanted to fight someone, they will say, Dhul-Qa'dah will come later. They say, Dhul-Qa'dah, we'll have it later, after a few months. So they postpone it. Nasi. So they postpone. And mix up all these things. I say, Allah, this is kufr. Innama nasiyu ziyadatun fil kufr. This is an increase in disbelief. Your belief, and then over above that, you do the corruption and do all of these things. That is not acceptable. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيْنَا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And by this kind of tricks, that is those who disbelieve, they are misled. So 1 year, this is haram, and the other year, it is not haram. And we can have it before, or you can postpone it. That is not the way. The Prophet ﷺ, in his last Hajj, he said to people, today the calendar has become the same as it was when Allah created the heaven and the earth. So all the misplacement of months, the process has gone now. You are back again to the same level, same thing as it was before. And now you have to keep it that way. So there are 12 months, and out of 12, there are 4 months that are sacred. And do not change that order. Do not say Muharram come later, or Muharram come before, or something like that. No, you cannot do that. So innama nasiyu ziyadatun fil kufr yudallu bihi alladhina kafaru yuhillunahu 'aman wa yuharrimunahu 'aman liyuwati'u 'iddata ma harrama Allah. That is to say, this nasi business is like kufr, like rejection of Allah. And those who disbelieve, they are the ones who are misled by that. 1 year, this month is halal, and the other year, this month is haram. So they say, we completed 12, but actually completed 12 by playing game with the months. So that they reconcile the number, but they will make halal whatever is haram. زُيِّنَ لَهُمْ سُوءَ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. Their bad deeds have looked good to them. But this is wrong. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah does not like that people play this kind of game with the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so inshallah we'll continue. These are the ayat that emphasizing that belief are those that are given by Allah, and they're through His prophets, and you have to follow that. Prophets are the servants of Allah, not the sons of Allah or daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wahdahu la sharika lah, alone, without any partner, without any son or daughter. And the same thing is also the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can change those rules. Those rules have to be followed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that this is the message, very clear, transparent message that Allah has given through Islam. And this is the light of Allah. People will try to blow it off, but they cannot do that. The prior light is going to prevail. And then Allah emphasizes that you, what Allah has given you, from the dead, something to be given as charity, to spend in the path of Allah, and do not hoard your money by without giving it, because then it will become a curse instead of blessing. And then finally, the calendar has to be kept pure and clear. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we follow this clear message that comes from the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's take some questions, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Brother Chowan. So in this few ayah, there's a lot of information that really is became even more prevalent in the times after the Prophet Muhammad was leaving, especially in Europe. I mean, there are actually a lot of cases where Christians are worshipping monks. I mean, they call them saints, right? I mean, a lot of the monks that ended up to be called saints, mostly by the popes, they declare somebody to be a saint. And then there's a lot of big churches where people almost make like pilgrimages to and pray and worship those so-called saints. They're like buried open. You can see their skeletons, even dressed in clothes made out of gold and diamond and whatever. And people go there and actually worship these saints. So it's really, I think now maybe even more strong so than it was at the time of the revelation.
No. It's very important that people should pay attention to the clear message that is given in the Quran and understand this message. This message is for all people, and it clarifies things that have been becoming confusing by different kind of theologies and different kind of systems of beliefs. So prophets were prophets of Allah. We respect them, honor them, but we do not worship them. We worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the time, the calendar is important, and the calendar has to be kept the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And also the blessings of Allah, money, wealth that is given, part of it should be given to help the poor and the needy for good causes. And you should earn in the halal way and spend in the halal way.
No. And also that the popes and bishops and cardinals in Europe are probably the biggest hoarders of wealth throughout the centuries.
Yes, sometimes a lot of wealth was collected in the monastery and hoarding the money of the people. Guys,
do you know in Ajmer Sharif, people in India, they go to Ajmer and they pray. Almost he's like a saint, similar to the way people pray to saints in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of that? Is that, that's not?
Yeah, good question. Sister is asking that there are some people who go to the tombs of the saints among Muslims and visit those mazarat in different places, and they have all kind of beliefs about that. He's saying, what do you think about that? Yeah, I mean, the shirk is shirk, whether it's committed by Muslims or committed by anybody else. One can visit the grave. You know, Rasulullah said in the beginning, he said, don't go, don't visit the graves at all. But then after that, he allowed them. He allowed them, and people realized that we go to visit the grave to remind ourselves about our own death, but not to worship there, not to worship those people who passed away. So he said, "Kuntu nahaytukum an ziyaratil qubur." I forbade you in the beginning about going to the graves. But now I tell you that you go, you can go, because they will remind you of your own death and remind you of Akhirah, of the Day of Judgment. If somebody goes for that purpose, that's fine. But going to the grave of anybody and bowing there and bowing and putting, making sajda to those places or making dua to those people, you give me shifa, you heal me, you do this for me, you do this for me. This is shirk. Whether Muslims do it or somebody else do it, it not, should not be done. You go, you say, Assalamu alaikum, ya ahl al qubur. Peace be unto you, O the people of graves. Antum salafuna wa nahnu al-khalaf. You went ahead of us and we'll be after the, after you. Ghafar Allahu lana wa lakum. May Allah forgive you and forgive us. That's what Muslims are supposed to do, that when they go and visit the grave. So we pray for them, inshallah. And they need our prayers. And we should pray for them and we should pray for ourselves. And that is the Islamic way of visiting the graves.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Siddiqui.
Alaikum assalam.
I have a comment and then I have a question from last class. I couldn't attend it live. I just hear the recording. So regarding the verse 34, this verse reminds me about the conflict between Catholicism and Protestants. Because in the 15th century, the Catholic Church started selling indulgences, and there was a lot of abuse of indulgences, and the Protestants protested against that. Mm-hmm. So this verse reminds me of that conflict. And my question is regarding the verse that mentions that surely the idolaters are unclean, so they should not be allowed in Masjid-e-Haram. That verse doesn't mention the people of the book. So why all non-Muslims are prohibited from entering Masjid-e-Haram? I mean, because that verse doesn't mention people of the book. It only talks about idolaters. So could you please explain that?
Yeah, first of all, I mentioned that last time, that najasa is not in the literal sense. It is not that they are unclean physically, but it is because of the belief. And the belief is shirk. So the shirk is najasa. Islam is the religion of purity. Purity physically, morally, and spiritually. Physically means you have to observe. Your body should be clean. Clothes should be clean. The place where you live and pray should be clean. And the second thing is that akhlaq, manners, should be clean manners. You know, lying and cheating and committing adultery and fornication and drinking alcohol, these are unclean ways. So Islam emphasizes that you morally should be clean. And then I also emphasize that your aqidah, your belief must be clean. And shirk is unclean. Shirk means believing that somebody who is other than Allah is God. So anybody who has think that way, so even though Ahlul Kitab are not called Mushrikeen, but this belief is shirk. The belief that there is Son of God or somebody beside God has power, this is unclean concept. And this should be avoided. This should not be done. And so even though the ayah talks about innamal mushrikun najas fala yaqrabul masjid al haram, that mushriks should not come to the closer to the masjid al haram. But our ulama has generalized that. It's for everybody other than Muslims.
They should not.
And in that, there is some opinion. I mean, Imam Abu Hanifa, for example, he said they should not go at the time of Hajj. But other time, if there is a need, they can go.
Okay, I see. Jazakallah khair. And I just wanted to clarify. Thank you. May Allah bless you.
I had 30 since Israel was considered a son of God. As of today, Jews are still believe the same thing. I thought that my understanding was that they do not believe except the one God.
Yeah, I think that today they don't have that concept that it was Ezra is the son of God. But the other concept, they are there in Judaism. that are not the pure concept of Tawheed. And they believe that we are the chosen people, and among all the people God has chosen us. That is not a very clear concept of Tawheed. All people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not choose people, Allah choose concepts, beliefs. So if the people follow that, right, then they are chosen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they don't follow, they are not chosen. That is what Islam emphasizes that. But yes, we don't say that Jews today believe in Ezra as son of God. Because most of them don't even know that. But it was a small group. Maybe they are still or not there, but there was a small group that believed that Ezra was the son of God. Any other question?
Sorry, yes. Can I ask one more? Just briefly, Dr. Siddiqui, can you explain the concept of the Holy Trinity one more time? Very confusing.
If I can explain.
Who is the Father?
The belief is the Holy Trinity. Sister is asking, can you explain Holy Trinity? Nobody can explain. Even Christians don't explain it. They say it is a mystery. So basically, the idea is that as if God is some kind of a fluid thing, and so part of it is Father, and part of it is Son, and part of it is the Holy Spirit. So so they say we believe in one God. The Nicene Creed of Christianity is that we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God is Father, and God is Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. So Father as the Creator, and then this Creator came into the human form, and that is the Son. And then after that, there is the Spirit of God that is all around. And that is Spirit is also God. So this is how they take it. So they say they are three, but actually they are one. So three in one and one in three. And Jesus, they say, was human and divine both. So he was very God of God and very human of the human. He was a human fully, and he was also divine fully. So that's the concept. So this is a puzzle, and this puzzle is, people have made it. It's not coming out from the Bible. In the Bible, it's not mentioned that. In the Bible, it doesn't say that God is in three and three in one. It's not in the Bible. It is a theological concept. So people said it, and the councils have accepted it, and then they differed among themselves. So there are many sects and groups in different ways they believe.
Assalamu
alaikum.
The prophet Ezra is the same prophet which the Jew believe that he used to fly in air. That he used to fly in the air and go in the sky, come back, or something like that. Is that correct?
There are many myths, stories, but they're not in the belief system. I mean, there is a book of Ezra in the Bible. The book of Ezra basically talks about people who were taken out into Babylonia going back to Jerusalem, and they are being helped to build the temple, and how many were able to come back and how many were not allowed to come back, and in what way they built the temple. So that basically talks about that. It's a historical book, like the book of Chronicles and Kings. So you have in the Bible, you have five books that are called Torah, And then after that, you have historical books, such as the Book of King. It has two sections, Book King 1 and King 2. And then after that, you have Chronicles 1 and 2. And after Chronicles, you have books in the names of various prophets. So you have Ezra and Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, so various prophets and the books attributed to prophets of God. And then you have Psalms of David, the book called Zabur. So this is the way how the various sections are in the Bible. The book of Ezra doesn't talk about this thing that you mentioned, but there are many stories that are attributed to Ezra.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
First of all, that's how all questions tackled today. I would like to personally thank you. I could not meet you yesterday because of my vision. I was looking for you.
MashaAllah, very beautiful program. May Allah bless you.
And I was happy to meet Dr. Abdul Majeed, but I didn't see Brother Abdul Wahab. I don't know he came. But all the Islamic Society of Orange County will express our thanks for joining us and making dua for us and inshallah working together.
Thank you. May Allah bless Shura Council and all the people who are working there and devoting their time. May Allah reward and make it successful. Barakallahu feekum. We have to go for Zohar now, inshallah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arham ar-rahimin.
We all but you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Experience post. Clear all notifications. Close. Leave meeting.